KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:04, we have sunny skies and 55 degrees. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today with a high of 84. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Myron Gross Real Estate in Atlantic. Call 243-4100. When the Atlantic City Council holds their regularly scheduled session this evening at 5:30 at City Hall, we'll have a short agenda in front of them. In addition to approving their consent agenda, which consists of tree trimmer permits, Class C liquor licenses for two local bars, and administrative matters, the council will review and likely act on a recommendation from the city's Planning and Zoning Commission with regard to the partial vacating of the right-of-way between Hemlock and Sycamore Streets, south of East 18th here in Atlantic. During their meeting back on August the 5th, the council had referred that matter to the P&Z, which met on August 11th. The commission was empathetic to the property owner, Daniel Jones, who, as Zoning Commissioner and City Administrator John Lund has said, has been caught in a bureaucratic nightmare. Jones has two sheds on his property and would like to combine them, improve the exterior, and make them taller. Aerial images of the property appear to show his sheds encroaching on the city right-of-way. His request for a permit to make the changes to his sheds was not approved initially because of the encroachment. Well, long story short, the commission unanimously concluded the right-of-way in that neighborhood serves no further public purpose for the city, and that the city's comprehensive plan does not suggest the area is one where redevelopment is anticipated. That would justify the city retaining the land. The commission recommended abutting the property owners be contacted and informed the city intends to vacate the alley and divide the right-of-way among eight abutting lots. Where utilities are provided on the south side of the right-of-way, the city, according to the commission, could obtain easements to the service area if AMU would desire them. The only other business on the council's agenda this evening are regular reports from the city administrator, mayor, council, and student representative as available, followed by a public forum as needed. Well, the Griswold School District's Board of Education met Monday evening. Superintendent Dave Hendricks told us yesterday that they had discussed the district's return to learn plan, but there really wasn't much new to report, except for the number of students who have elected to be educated virtually.
We gave our students a choice, and we have a total of 41 students in the district.
They also discussed Corner Conference fall guidelines. Last Wednesday, the governing body of the conference put together a set of guidelines for fall sports, one of which in particular applies to volleyball.
Simply because cross country is outside and football is a district endeavor versus a conference. As a school, Griswold has a little concern with one of the protocols, which is each player is allotted six tickets, and they are to give them to whoever they want. And if basically, if you don't have a ticket, you can't get into the event.
And Henrik said that they understand the purpose is to encourage social distancing, but it also means Griswold's goal of engaging students, staff, and community would be limited. The district asked the conference to reconsider that piece, and they'll address it at a later date. The Griswold School Board Monday also approved one resignation and several new hires.
We did approve a resignation by Alicia Doffner. That's effective August 31st. Then new hires, Teresa Swatford, middle school, high school special ed teacher, Diane Anderson, route bus driver, Chris Hamilton, head cross-country coach, Troy Nikolaus, assistant cross-country coach, also Troy Nikolaus, volunteer junior high football coach, Sue Mortison, junior high volleyball coach, Patty Gibson, two positions, middle school, high school paraprofessional, and route bus driver. And then Tracy Spinagel, middle school, high school, special ed paraprofessional. So I think, with the exception of maybe one para, I think we're all good to start the year, and we're just waiting on to ensure our enrollment before we hire another para.
And the Griswold School Board will hold a special meeting today at noon to approve the purchase of a bus.
Here recently, we had our bus inspections, and actually, overall, our inspections were very good. But we did have two buses that did not pass because of rust issues, which is not uncommon. But exploring repair costs, we just don't feel it's worthy of repairing those. So we just had that as a discussion item last night. And in talking more with our transportation director, his recommendation, and I agree, we need to get rid of those two buses. And then in doing so, it's going to make a short bus because we really have extras, but getting rid of two, we like to replace it with one. So we're going to pursue a used bus.
And they were unable to act on that matter on Monday because it wasn't on the agenda as one of their action items. Elsewhere in the news, the Creston Police Department today reports three arrests a little after 2 a.m. today. 30-year-old Cody J. Courtney of Thayer was arrested at 403 East Townline in Creston for possession of a controlled substance, third or subsequent offense. Courtney was being held in the Union County Jail on a $5,000 bond. He was also being held on a Madison County warrant for failure to appear on the original charge of possession of paraphernalia with a $300 bond and a Polk County warrant for criminal mischief in the fourth degree, which carries a $1,000 bond. The Creston Police K-9 Jacks assisted in Courtney's arrest. Late Tuesday night, 46-year-old Shannon Gandy of Creston was arrested at the same location as Courtney was, and she was charged with possession of a controlled substance first offense. Gandy was being held in the Adams County Jail on $1,000 bond, and again, the Creston Police K-9 Jacks assisted in her arrest. Tuesday afternoon, 50-year-old Matthew Baudler of Panora was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center in Creston on a Union County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. Baudler was released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. The Union County Sheriff's Office said that the Union County Secondary Roads Department reported Monday morning that sometime over the weekend, someone shot at their building located at 307 Minnesota Avenue in Lorimore. The damage was estimated at $400. And a Central Iowa man was injured during a single vehicle accident early Tuesday morning northeast of Three Mile Lake in Union County. Authorities said 74-year-old Raymond Darr of Des Moines was traveling south on Owl Avenue at around 4 a.m. and didn't realize the road curved. His 2010 Nissan SUV went off the road and into a ditch before rolling over. Darr was transported by EMS ground ambulance to the hospital in Creston for treatment of possible unknown injuries. His vehicle was a total loss. One person was injured during a collision Monday afternoon in Red Oak. Authorities say the accident happened around 1:30 p.m. at the intersection of Highways 34 and North 4th Street, where a 2006 GMC pickup driven by 20-year-old Garrett Layton of Griswold was stopped at the controlled intersection on the north side, and a 1998 Toyota driven by 49-year-old Shauna Barons of Red Oak was traveling east on Highway 34. As the car approached the intersection, the pickup proceeded to head south across the intersection and into the path of the car. Barons was unable to avoid the truck and struck the vehicle on the passenger side. She suffered suspected minor non-incapacitating injuries and was transported by Red Oak Rescue to the Montgomery County Hospital. Damage from the collision totaled $13,000, and police cited Layton for failure to obey a stop sign and yield the right-of-way. The news was brought to you by Myron Gross Real Estate. For a great quality service, give Myron Gross Real Estate a call at 243-4100 or stop by 621 Poplar Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.